Yes, I'm so excited today because today my mom, I'm here with my mother. My name's Amanda.
Jeanette.
I realized one of the other recent podcasts, we didn't do introductions.
Yes, I realized that, but that was like, okay. Oh, whoops, by now you should know who I am.
So sorry about that. Sometimes I'm forgetting the introductions. But I am excited for this podcast because today my mom has prepped the podcast to go over the Grand Floridian. I'm so excited to hear more about the Grand Floridian and what she has discovered about the Grand Floridian Resort. I want to say too, if you do hear some background noise, it's because my mom has two kittens, Elvis and Savannah, and sometimes they can just be a little bit noisy little kittens.
Right. So they're very quiet, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Also, I apologize for any paper rustling or anything that goes on because I'm doing the research this time. I am not a computer person. I did everything on paper. I write everything out so that I can tell you all the good facts about the Grand Floridian, which were more than I expected.
Yeah.
So should I start?
Yeah, go for it.
It's more than I expected because we did the contemporary.
Yes.
And we did the Polynesian. And those were a lot of facts and a lot of stuff that goes on. But I got to tell you, the Grand Floridian's got more going on than anybody even knows. It is amazing how things are tucked away because it's a very big resort. So obviously the way things are tucked away, you don't realize how much is going on. And as I'm talking, I realized that I never did anything about the wedding pavilion that's attached to it. So that's not part of this.
That's okay.
We'll have to do a Disney wedding thing somewhere down the line. But I didn't do anything about the wedding pavilion, which is even technically attached to it. And that maybe that'll be my memory later on. But anyway, the Grand Floridian opened on June 28th, 1988. And that's 17 years after Disney World opened. So the other hotels were first and then this one. It was originally named the Disney Grand Floridian Beach Resort. And then in 1992, they added a 40,000-foot convention center. So the Grand Floridian sits on the Seven Seas Lagoon between the Polynesian Resort and Magic Kingdom. Disney originally planned to build a Thai-inspired resort with suites that actually included royal Thai decor. So it was supposed to be all this Asian theme. Then in 1973, due to the oil crisis and a whole lot of other reasons, tourism took a downturn. And because tourism took a downturn, that building was scrapped and it was built.
Yeah.
And that's when they decided to bring up the point again of building a hotel, that's when they did the concept for the Grand Floridian. So by the 1980s then is when they started and evolved this plan. And any of you who've seen the resort, it was a joint effort between the architects, this is a long name, Wimberly, Whitesand, Allison, Tong, and Gu, and the Disney Development Company. The architect previously designed the hotels for Paris, Tokyo, and Hong Kong Disney parks. So they had a relationship with these people, and that's who they went to build the Grand Floridian. So the Grand Floridian design was influenced by turn-of-the-century architecture and where other hotels around the country that use this architecture. And it was all based from the 1920s. So like one of the hotels definitely was we were just talking about this before, the Coronado in San Diego is built like that with that 1920s look with the red gable roofs. So there are many iconic details in the Grand Floridian, which I guess you realize when you walk in because of it. There's the marble floors and all the stained glass. There's domes, chandeliers, and a big bird cage in the lobby. So when you walk in, you get that feel of that opulence and the 1920s. It has a historically accurate dedication of Victorian style that would have been to formal. And instead of designers focused on a more playful, they kind of mix the playful beach resort with the Victorian architecture. So you get that feel. So when you go in, it's light, it's airy. They used a lot of floral designs and latticework from the Victorian era. And it's reflected outside with the white walls and the red gable roofs. And like I said, the one in Coronado is on Coronado Island in San Diego. It's on the beach. So it has that feel of the beach, but at the same time, it's got that opulence of the Victorian era going on. In 2013, they added the Vacation Club villas, which were completed and shared the Victorian theming of the hotel. I forgot that we did stay there once. And I forgot that when you walk in the lobby, it's dedicated to like a Mary Poppins theme, like a subtle Mary Poppins theme. And when you walk in, the fountain in the lobby has the penguins from Mary Poppins. And I forgot about that till I was doing the research and I saw the picture of the fountain. You forget about that because every time now when we're in there, we're coming off the monorail and just kind of looking at, like coming onto the second floor and looking at the whole lobby. And I forgot that when we checked in that time, we had come in through the DVC entrance. Yeah. And I was shocked to see the lobby with the penguins and the fountain. Also, a little tidbit, the Beach Boys, actually did perform there at the hotel. They filmed their music video Kokomo from the movie Cocktail at the Disneyland Grand Floridian. So Grand Floridian sits on the monorail, just one stop to the Magic Kingdom, which I can never get right. We go to Disney how many times? And I'm always asking Amanda, what's the next stop? Yeah. Where are we going? Which way are we going? Okay, guests can relax, as this is Disney, guests can relax in the sumptuous lobby, listen to a piano player, and watch evening fireworks light up over the Magic Kingdom. I mean, obviously, it's the perfect location. There are spots from the hotel where you can actually stand outside and watch the fireworks go off. Anybody who stays at the hotel, extra magic hours are provided to guests of the Disney Deluxe Resorts, so they can take advantage of that. There is also magic in the five-story lobby flooring. The Italian marble flooring has several characters, which I didn't even notice.
Yes, I guess I have seen that before.
Yeah,
actually,
I guess you notice it when you see it, but they have several characters hidden within the detailing. So they say that you have to keep an eye out for the Fab Five, Cinderella, her prince, Tinkerbell, Peter Pan, and maybe even more than that.
Yeah.
But like I said, I know that we walk those floors and we do anything. I've never really noticed.
Yeah, I have a little bit when I've been walking around and like I've looked down and be like, oh, look at that. That's so cool. And then that's kind of it. I haven't really like deep dove into what
I mean, when I was doing this, I was like, they do pay attention to the detail. Okay, and obviously, anybody who's been there during Christmas time, it is decked out in splendor. A tree that you can't believe. Garland going up the stairs, around the balconies, and with a life-size gingerbread house in the lobby. And I know we did the podcast about that, and that's my favorite. The gingerbread house in the Grand Floridian was my favorite. I thought the detail in the kitchen of it was adorable. They do go all out. The resort has two swimming pools. There's a courtyard pool is the largest pool, and then as well as having a children's pool and a large 181-foot long water slide. Now, some of the stuff...
Yes. I didn't realize it was that big.
Yeah, 181 foot, okay? I guess some of that's what we see when you're on the monorail and you come through.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can actually see part of the pool area.
Yeah.
The main pool, that's not the largest pool, though. The courtyard, what they call the courtyard pool, is their largest pool. The beach pool, though, has a gently sloping entry that makes it feel more like a beach.
Yeah.
So it has the zero entry where you can just walk right in. They also have poolside cabana rentals. I didn't bother to look up the price, but they do have cabana rentals.
I'm sure the prices have changed depending upon when you're listening
be.
To this.
Yes, I didn't bother to look up the price for that. But yes, you can.
And I'm sure they're expensive.
Yes. They are very expensive.
As all things in Disney.
Yes, I know that for a fact. But people who want to stay by the pool all day, you know, obviously some people really like the idea of having someplace to get in and out of the hot sun, be there all day. Those pool cabanas usually have refrigerators with snacks and fruits and drinks and whatever you need. So that's something to think about. The hotel has 800 guest rooms and 25 suites. The largest suite is the Walt Disney Suite at 690 feet.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's like living in a house.
Well, that's a small apartment at that point.
Yes. My problem with that is I don't think I want a room that big because then I tend to get nervous about leaving stuff behind.
Yeah.
The bigger the room, the more you spread out.
Yeah. But that would be great too, like if you were getting married, to have one of those suites.
Yes.
So you could have like your hairdresser and your makeup artist come into the room with you and like maybe all your bridesmaids with you. So that I feel like those are like—
That would be something to really splurge on.
Yeah.
Yes. And I would assume that, you know, I mean, obviously, like I said, I didn't even do the wedding pavilion. Didn't even dawn on me to do the wedding pavilion and do the thing that they have the carriage and the whole thing that goes on there. But there are hidden Mickeys throughout the resort too. I guess there's hidden Mickeys everywhere. You have to look for them, they said, in the lighting fixtures, the carpeting, and inside some of the restaurants, which are harder to find. Obviously, lighting and carpeting, they're easy to find when you're walking around and seeing them. But they said in the restaurants is where the hottest Mickeys, hidden Mickeys, are to find. Some guests can actually watch the electrical parade on the Seven Seas Lagoon from their rooms, as we know from the other hotels too. If you've got a room that faces the lake view, then you can watch the electrical parade and you can hear it all night long.
They no longer play the music, luckily. Back in the day, like 10 years ago, they used to play this like really like electrical jingle the whole time. And it was so loud. And it used to drive us crazy because it was so loud.
Right. Everybody wanted to go to sleep.
And it wouldn't stop until like 10:30. Like it was pretty late and this jingle was still going and I hated it.
Right. I remember you saying that. So I'm saying, oh my God.
I grew to hate it, unfortunately. And now they don't play it anymore.
Right. So if you have a lake view room.
Or they play it much quieter, rather.
Right. You can watch the Seven Seas Lagoon parade go by. Okay. The hotel has a 24-hour hour fitness center with a full service spa. Obviously, they offer massages, hair, body treatments, manicures, and pedicures.
I've heard really great things about their spa.
Really?
I would love to go to, I've never been to a spa a day in my whole life. So I would love to go to their spa and like maybe get a massage, have my first massage.
I'm not a spa person. I remember one time when I was in Disney though, years and years ago, I needed a manicure. I'd broken it. We were just talking about this. I had fake nails at the time. The kids were young. And of course, I had fake nails attached, the gel, whatever they were. And one popped off as we were, I was picking up my suitcase to get off the plane. And I said, oh, I'll just go get it replaced. Like I'll just go. There was no place on Disney property to get your nail replaced. I went all week with one less nail because we didn't have a car because at that time you just went right over to the Disney property and you stay on Disney property. And it was, we weren't going anywhere. So we didn't have a car that vacation. And I remember that there was no place that I'd have to get in a cab to go to a nail salon to get my nails done. Mm-hmm. So that was not happening. So I went all week without a nail but now they have nail services at the spas. Recreational activities. I mean, every hotel has these. The deluxe hotels especially have some kind of activities going on. Well, they have a nighttime campfire where you can roast marshmallows by a fire on the beach from 5:30 to 6:30 at night. And then there's movies under the stars at 7:30 at night. The campfire's every night, but the movies under the stars are Sundays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays at 7:30. You can rent a motorized boat rental available at the marina. Cannot take them out by yourself anymore. They used to have motorized boat rentals where you could run around and take them out by yourself.
For sure.
Now they're like pontoon boats where they'll take you out for a ride and do that kind of stuff. I remember years ago, they used to have those little boats though, that people used to rent and like zip all over the place. Okay,
they took it away from
people. Yes, they took it away because people obviously were not paying attention to all the rules. They do have guided fishing expeditions on the boat, on pontoon boats that can be booked at the marina. They have specialty cruises to see the fireworks on the internet. You go to the International Gateway and that's where all the boats kind of congregate, where you can see the fireworks go off on the lagoon right over your heads. I know we looked into that one time doing it with friends of ours, and for one reason or another, we decided not to do it. But they'll take you out. Usually it includes drinks, soft drinks, and some snacks while you're out on the boat. They also have a basketball court and a place to go and play arcade games.
Yeah, for sure.
Extra amenities. Obviously, deluxe resort. You can do anything you need to do with this hotel. This is a deluxe hotel. You can get in-room florals and gifts, watercraft transportation to the Magic Kingdom in addition to the monorail, bus transportation to the springs and other parks. You can book the mini service van if you want to. You get complimentary Wi-Fi, parking. They have ATM and banking. The front desk can actually even exchange currencies, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah.
Because especially when you're traveling internationally, you say to yourself, okay, what am I supposed to do with all this money and do whatever needs to be done? They will exchange foreign currencies. Mm. They have a business center. They have laundry and dry cleaning services, housekeeping services, mail services. And of course, they have a club level, which has concierge and full support. They will book your reservations. They will book your tickets. They will help you with everything if you're staying at the club level. Shopping. When you get off the monorail, it's easy not to miss the shopping. Most of the shopping is on the second floor. It looks over onto the lobby. The walkways in front of all the stores look over onto the lobby. And their stores they're cute. They're really cute. I really love walking around in their stores. They're just really, really nice. It's very calming. It's very nice. Marble floors.
It feels very boutique-esque almost.
Yes.
Like you walk in, it feels like it's a boutique, even though a lot of the merchandise is what you'd buy in other Disney stores.
Yes, especially the when I get to the mercantile store. Yeah. Basin White is in there. Obviously, they have one there and they have one in Disney Springs, which is what they classify as a bath and beauty emporium, carrying natural bath and body care and hair care items to fragrantly pamper yourself and loved ones.
Okay.
And it is fun. It is fun to go in there
They have lots of cute soap. Basically, it's a soap shop. It's a fancy soap
shop. It's a soap shop.
But they sell really cute themed soap. So like they'll sell soap with like Mickey's on it, with like other Disney characters
on
it.
We have bought some of that soap.
Yeah, I bought it lots for gifts, especially the themed ones. When we went in October, I bought some Halloween themed ones. And they do like scents based on like themes as well, which is really cute. Yes, I definitely recommend checking
it out. Yeah, it was just recently refurbished too.
Yes.
It was closed for like a short time. Everybody was all wondering what was going on. They had the windows covered up, but they just reopened. But I think they were just cleaning and refurbishing and doing that kind of stuff. Then they have the Curiouser Clothiers. That's a boutique shop, definitely. Mm-hmm. They're all open all day. This one, Curiouser Clothiers, is open from 9 to 9. Disney-inspired designer clothing and premium souvenirs.
Yes.
When you walk in there, it is like going to a clothing boutique.
Yeah.
They have a lot of really really cool regular clothing, and they have a lot of cool clothing with Disney logos on it. The only one who's ever bought anything there is Daddy, because...
Well, no, years and years ago, we went to Disney World, I guess it was December, and it was very unusually cold at the time, yeah. And we were not prepared.
Oh, is that where you
all
got your scarf? Okay.
Yeah, so I got a scarf there. I still have that scarf to this day. And I remember the scarf was this gray scarf, and I remember I loved it so much. It was very expensive, though. My parents were like, we're not buying that scarf. It was so expensive. But it was so cold, they were like, yeah, we'll get you the scarf.
Yes, so, it had a little Mickey on the edge.
No, that one didn't have the Mickey.
Oh, that one didn't
have
the Mickey?
The black and white checkered one scarf I have has the Mickey, okay. But that one was from a different store, okay. Though. But this gray one was just like, it was a Disney scarf, like it had a Disney tag on it, but it didn't have any Disney on it.
Well, that's what this clothing store, you don't have to buy Disney merchandise. And I think that's also because a lot of people going there, when you're there at a certain season, you need a bathing suit, you need a cover up, you need a scarf, you need a hat, you need gloves. Yeah. Not everybody wants to buy something with a Mickey on it, especially for that price, because...
Well, also back in the day, they didn't always used to have all the cute winter clothes for Disney. Whereas now they have lots of cute winter clothes that are like Disney-ified.
Yes.
Whereas back then there was very, very little.
Very little. We've been caught a couple of times where we've been wearing double and triple sweatshirts because they don't sell the fleece jackets and the line jackets and the rain jackets. And
now they do, which is great.
They got smart. Yes. Well, I also have to say that Florida, little by little, like the rest of us, the temperature's changing a little bit and they do have a little bit more cooler weather. But that store, really nice store. I mean, really high-end stuff, beautiful, some designer pieces, clothing, pocketbooks, things like that. Menswear, like I said, my husband bought a couple of, he has at least two Disney sweaters that actually just have a little Mickey on the chest that are very nice quarter zip sweaters. Very, very nice. Then there's the M Mouse Mercantile, and that's their souvenir shop. Mm-hmm. And like you said, even going in there though, when you're walking around, it's not like going into any other like souvenir shop.
Yeah.
It seems like more of a boutique experience.
For sure.
And that one covers everything. It's got souvenirs, it's got apparel, it's got accessories, it's got Mickey ears, it's got plush toys, it's got candy, it's got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, lots of gift items. I bought a pair of pajamas in there once, a Mickey. I bought them for the top, Minnie Mouse sweatshirt top. It's a nice little store. What's very pretty about these stores is they're all on the second floor of the hotel, and all their windows are all Victorian. So as you're walking around the store, it's very light, very airy, and they all look out over the pool, over the gardens, over, you know, so you still get that feel like you're open Victorian area.
For sure.
And then downstairs on the first floor is their hotel store. Every Disney hotel has a little store. This one's called Sandy Cove Gifts and Sundries. It's open from 8 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. And that's their general store. That's where you can get souvenirs, you can get gifts, you can get pins. They do sell spirits, as they call them, beer, wine, little things to take up to your room. And then they also have some basic food. So people who want to eat in their hotel room or do whatever. You can even buy a luggage. They even have pieces of luggage in there. If you need a piece of luggage at the last minute, do anything. That's what I call their general store. They have all the sundries. If you need aspirin, if you need a nail file, if you need anything, anything, shaving cream, whatever. They have that little space that has all their little sundries. So that's just generally convenience store. So now we've gone through all of like the hotel, except for the dining. And I got to tell you, you know, we don't eat in a lot of the restaurants there because they're high-end restaurants, a lot of them. The high-end restaurants, one of them is Victoria and Albert's. A lot of people, everybody that goes comes out raving about it.
Yeah, everyone says it's really good. Yeah.
Victoria and Albert's is listed as a signature dining. They get the 5-diamond AAA award since 2000. Every year, they get a 5-diamond award.
That's wild. So,
That. So for 23 years, they get a 5-diamond award from AAA. They have a price fix menu, and it says that you can eat under a grand rotunda dome with Victorian themed murals and wall coverings with flowers and butterflies adorning the scene, the ceiling, making you be reminiscent of sitting in a garden.
Okay.
So it must be beautiful.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds lovely.
Yes, when I heard that, I was like, ooh.
Well, maybe you and Dad should go to Victoria.
No. There are two reasons why Daddy and I are not going. One of them is this. Okay, first, guests must be 10 and above, so they don't want any little kids running around because, you know, whatever. This is something that the chef will, and this is another thing, the chef will try to accommodate any dietary needs, but you have to be aware that some of these items are being specifically prepared and cannot be changed.
Yeah.
So they're kind of telling you, if you've got dietary needs, this is not the place to be going to eat, which I could understand, unfortunately, because this is not, they're not catering to the general public.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. You get free valet parking though for this. Okay. They have a wine list of 500 wines from 35 different regions. And they have obviously specially trained sommeliers to help you with that.
For sure.
Okay, now we'll get to the price. The price is $295 per guest.
Okay.
And if you want a wine pairing, it's another $155 per guest. And then if you want a zero proof, because they do have zero proof for people who don't drink, that's only $115. I thought that was kind of funny that you only save $40 by not getting liquor. But okay, obviously
well,
those
are cocktails, I guess, are like, you know, still expensive.
Yes, they're still very good cocktails. Okay. And that does not include tax and gratuity. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is why one reason why we would not be going.
That's why. So it's $295 per guest. Because that's $100 more than the one in the France Pavilion that also Monsieur Paul.
Yeah. Right.
Because that one also has a prefixed very fancy seven course type of meal.
Uh-huh.
So that one's $100 less though. So I guess if you want to go a little bit cheaper, you can try to go there if you don't want to go to Victoria and Albert's.
Right.
To spend
okay. Also, you have to dress for this.
Yes.
This is not one of those places where you can show up in your Mickey ears or your shorts or your little, you know, t-shirt. Obviously, most restaurants, they don't want you coming in a tank top or whatever anyway, but this is not a place where you can go to the park all day.
Well, I would imagine if you're spending almost, including gratuity and tax, if you're spending almost $500 per person with alcohol, that's $1,000 for a couple to go out to dinner.
Right. They consider their dress code semi-formal or formal.
Yeah, no, I love that actually. Okay. I would love to go to a semi-formal or formal dinner.
Yes, because
remember, guys, you're saving on the valet parking.
Yes, so you're saving on the $20 to $30 for valet parking, okay? But the second thing is that obviously it's a price fixed menu.
Yes.
And the chef is preparing dishes that are gourmet dishes that to be a person to eat this, you have to be able to taste no matter what they bring to the
and
table.
I would say too, you have to appreciate food.
Yes.
I would say, like, I am a very plain eater. Like, I love pasta with smart balanced butter. You know, that's like one of my favorite meals. This food would be a waste on
me. Well, you're a vegetarian. You can't go to this.
Yeah, but even if I wasn't vegetarian, it would just be a waste on me. I'm
Well, the problem, we have I have a nephew, a man's cousin, my nephew. Like, we were talking about them. Yeah, him and his wife are chefs.
Yeah.
And he has traveled all over Europe, visiting the restaurants, working with them in the kitchens and going and checking all the kitchens out and doing this and doing that. And when they went to Disney, him and his wife, he took his wife and they went to Victoria and Albert's and they loved it.
Yeah, they both said it was phenomenal.
It was phenomenal. My problem with that is I would love the experience. I'm not so sure I would love the food. We were just talking about this also the other day. I'm a general eater. You can take me to almost any restaurant, except an Indian restaurant, because I don't really like the curry flavors and their spices. But even there, I could probably find something to eat. I can find something to eat in any restaurant. I'm fussy. I'm very, very fussy. I pick, I choose, I request, not a lot, but I do request if it's possible because I am a very fussy eater, but I am a general eater. I don't say, oh, can't go to that restaurant. Oh, can't go to that restaurant. You tell me we're going to a restaurant, I say, okay, because I can always find something to eat. And if the restaurant's a good restaurant, then I'm enjoying the atmosphere. I'm enjoying the going. I'm enjoying being out. So I'm a general go anywhere, but I don't want to pay this kind of money to eat that food. I would like to see the place, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
So that's Victoria and Albert's. Okay. Then we get to the regular restaurants. Okay. Citrico's. Obviously, all these restaurants' reservations are recommended. Citrico's is a restaurant we have been to a couple of times. They changed their menu when they refurbished it.
Okay.
And now it's really...
I didn't realize that, actually.
Changed their menu because even I, like I said, I could find something to eat on there. But even I look at it and go, limited. Okay. Limited, definitely. And not something that if we were going to Disney, I'd say to you, let's go to Citrico's because you would not be able to find anything to eat.
Yeah.
And it's very expensive and you'd be buying like, you'd be asking for the kids like salad and macaroni and cheese or something and not, you know, for that kind of money, it's not worth it. But... they say that they are a Florida cuisine with Mediterranean flavors, with a stylish setting that pays homage to Mary Poppins and has an award-winning wine list and a signature dining dress code. Now we get to the signature dining dress code.
Yeah.
That's where they don't want you showing up in tank tops, cut-off shorts, sandals, and Mickey ears. I have never seen them turn anybody away, but they frown on it.
Yeah.
Because it is, like I said, once they refurbished it and reopened it, they did change their menu a little bit and has gotten very Florida cuisine with those high Mediterranean flavors.
Okay.
So, I mean, it looks nice. It looks pretty. And like I said, we always enjoyed Citrico's, but it is a very, very nice restaurant. And another restaurant in a beautiful setting. It also, in Citrico's, there is a lounge. If you want to enjoy drinks, you can actually order from the dinner menu at the bar.
Okay, that's nice.
So if you wanted to sit at the bar, like both are open from 5 to 9:30. Dinner ranges anywhere from $35 to $59 for dinner. Okay. And if you are on the Disney meal plan now, it's two table services.
Oh, for sure. It sounds like it'd be two table
but
service credits.
What's nice about this is that let's say you just wanted to have an appetizer.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't want to go and sit and have a big entree at Citrico's, but you wanted to go and do something there. You could go and have their really great drinks and their wines and whatever and sit at the bar and order food.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that they do that.
Yeah, I didn't know they did that in Citrico's. Yeah. So that's always a thought. Okay, Narcosis. Narcosis is waterfront setting. Narcosis is one of those that if you get a late table, you can actually sit there and watch the fireworks go off over the Magic Kingdom. So reservations are recommended, but definitely it's hard to get. They also closed during COVID and then like kind of refurbished themselves and reopened. Theirs is also $35 to $59 per adult for like an entree. And they open from 5 to 9:30 just for dinner. They have a signature dress code and they're also two table service meals. They are a lot of steak and seafood.
Okay.
So that's another restaurant we have not gone to because it does limit the fact that it's more, it's not like going to a regular steakhouse where they do have Caesar salad and macaroni and cheese and things
they have that sides.
See that when we go to a steakhouse, we can
like
say,
Les Cellier, for instance, in Epcot is a steakhouse, but they have lots of sides. So a vegetarian can easily eat all the sides.
Narcosis is not one of those places. First of all, I find that a lot of these restaurants have very limited menus.
Yeah.
I think that's why the problem sets with us is that even though you can find something, it's very hard to find something in these menus because they're very high end and they're very limited.
Yeah.
Their entrees are maybe five entrees and most of them have fish or whatever in them.
Yeah.
So, and they're not like catering to like pizza, flatbread, sandwiches, hamburgers.
Oh,
you know,
do that there,
if you're going to go to Narcosis, you're looking to have a steak or a fish entree or, you know, a very fancy chicken entree. So that's why these are two restaurants that we have not gone to recently. I would like to go to Narcosis. Who knows? Maybe next year when you guys are doing something else, maybe Daddy and I will go check out Narcosis because I know that both of us can eat fish.
And my dad loves fish. He's a big
fisher. Loves fish. Every place we go, he orders fish. So maybe if you're busy next when we go, when you go do the marathon and stuff, maybe we'll go to Narcosis.
Yeah.
You never know. Plus, I don't care about sitting there to see the fireworks, so we can always get an earlier dinner, you know? Okay. One of my favorite places to go is Grand Floridian Cafe. Anybody who's been to the Grand Floridian Cafe, it's very light, very open, very airy.
I love the Grand Floridian Cafe.
Just that little great Victorian food. Look. It looks over the gardens. It says here that it serves American classics served in the English countryside, and the restaurant has views of the Rose Gardens and the courtyard pool. And it does. Theirs goes down a little bit in the fact that they serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and their prices go down to $15 to $35 for an entree. But we've eaten dinner there, and we've eaten breakfast there.
Yeah.
And it says here, besides having a wide selection of entrees, you can get house-made goodies from the Grand Floridian Bakery, such as smoothies, espresso, and hot or frozen cappuccinos, and lattes. Cocktails and Disney's family of wines are also available. So it has a big selection, and I think that's what's great about them. First of all, it's got a really nice menu.
Mm-hmm.
Their breakfast menu has stuff on it that I'm always in a quandary what to order because they have so many good things.
And their food is really good.
Like
everything we've ordered there has always been always
good.
So good.
The service has always been excellent. You know, you're sitting there with those Victorian windows looking outside. The waitresses or waiters are always very, very friendly, very nice, very comfortable. And it is a decent restaurant in the fact that you're not going and spending $60 for a piece of fish or a piece of meat. They have entrees, but they also have hamburgers. They also have things that other people can eat, pastas and different things on the menu. So we do really like Grand Floridian Cafe. And then of course we get to Enchanted Rose, which is the bar.
Yes.
One of my favorites. That's open at 3:30, as we know, because we went there one time when they opened.
And at 3:30, people will be waiting for them to open.
Yes, people are standing out in the hallway waiting. We were one of them because we were tired. And I told Amanda, ooh, let's get on the monorail because we were going to be eating dinner at the Grand Floridian Cafe.
Yes.
And Joe was working. So I said, ooh, let's go eat it. You know, let's go have a drink at the Enchanted Rose, which Amanda striked up a conversation with the bartender about running, and we had a very nice afternoon. But anyway, the bar service is open from 3:30 to 11 o'clock. The lounge has four spaces, so it's like four different rooms. There's the bar, and then there are three other spaces that have different theming after the Disney live action film, obviously of Beauty and the Beast, because we're Enchanted Rose. And the details are infused throughout the lounge, along with an outdoor patio. I didn't even know they had the outdoor patio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize they served drinks on the outdoor patio. We've always sat inside. We've sat in two of the different rooms and at the bar. And all of them are really, really nice. They have a nice little drink menu. They have very, very small menu of appetizers, if you want to get appetizers. So they say that they serve shimmering sips and delectable appetizers. I love the way they use the words. But yeah, we do like the Enchanted Rose. So that's always good. You know, they took away the tea room and a couple of different things to do that. And people were all up in arms because they did have a bar called Misner's. Mm-hmm. And we've been there a couple of times when we wanted to, like, you know, hang out before it was time to go to dinner or whatever. And it was a very nice little bar. Nobody knew about it. It was very quiet, very, very nice atmosphere, very, very cute little place. So when everybody knew it was going away, everybody's like, oh my God, they're taking away Misner's. I can't believe they're doing that. I have to admit, Enchanted Rose, nice little place to hang out.
For sure.
Okay. Now, the last one that I want to talk about that's in the hotel. No, actually, this one's actually in the hotel too, but those are the pool bars. 1900 Park Fair.
Yes.
Obviously, as everybody knows, that one just is coming back. So there's not a lot of details about what's going to be on the menu.
Yeah, it's reopening in a month, and I think you can start making reservations if
March
you're listening
5th.
To this live. Yes. So this episode comes out on March 4th.
Okay.
So if you're listening live tomorrow, you can start making reservations for when it reopens in April.
Yes, it reopens April 10th.
Yeah.
I went back and looked to some of the basic information so I could have what I knew what I was talking about. The info, like I said, March 5th, you'll get the your reservations. Opens April 10th. It's going to be a breakfast and dinner buffet. And they're also going to have afternoon tea parties.
Oh, that's cool.
And of course, there's going to be characters.
Yeah.
So we won't be going there. But a lot of people are looking forward to it because a lot of people were upset when it closed during COVID and never reopened.
Yeah, because some people love character dining. So that
yes.
makes sense.
Yes. So the character dining is a big thing. And the fact that they're now going to have the afternoon tea parties that they used to have in the place where Enchanted Rose took over.
Yeah.
So they're going to go back to that little kind of idea. The other places that are there to eat is Gasparilla's Bar and Grill. Gasparilla's is their casual dining restaurant. Just like Polynesian has Captain Cook's and Oz has the Contempo Cafe. That's what Gasparilla's is. We have been there.
Yes,
when we were in between parks one time, we wanted to just get a little something and we went to Gasparilla's. It's a long walk through the hotel, but it's on the water. So it has casual dining restaurant serving food all day. They're open from 6 a.m. to 12 a.m. Mm-hmm. And they said all their entrees are like $14.99 and up. And they do the same thing like they do every place else. Eggs, waffles, flatbreads, burgers. They have beer and wine in the cases. They have all the drinks you can want in the cases. They have some pastries that you can buy. It's that kind of general place for people who just want to go and get something without having to sit down at a sit-down restaurant. And then the last two are the pool bars. You have a bar at each pool. Beaches is open from 11 in the morning to 8 p.m. It's a white gazebo bar by the beach and zero entry pool. It has a selection of wines, draft beer, cocktails, snacks, poolside services available, and they have a lunch menu with burgers, salads, chicken strips, things like that. The Courtyard Pool Bar, which is the big pool, is open from 11 to 7 p.m. and it's near the large courtyard pool and has ping pong table and two TVs. So if you want to sit and eat and watch TV, if there's a game on or something going on that you want to watch on the TV, there's something to do over by that bar. I looked at their menus. They have a similar menus. They don't both serve the same food. Mm. They both have very good menus. And on each menu, I looked at and said, ooh, that looks good. Ooh, yeah, that looks good. But each menu is a little different.
Okay.
And then last but not least, they have in-room dining. So anyway, here's a lot of information here. After I finished this, I said, oh my God, I want to stay at the Grand Floridian again.
We've stayed there once for a very short, like a long weekend, basically.
Yes.
But it was so exciting when we got to stay there because I'd always wanted to stay Grand Floridian. So I loved our short little trip there.
Yes.
But we definitely need to stay there again.
I would like to stay there again. I got to tell you, after I did this whole thing and started talking about the marble floors and the decorations and the look and the restaurants that are right there that you can just go to and, you know, just the whole feel for where you are and what you're doing, I said, I want to stay there again. So after I finished, I was like, a lot of stuff going on at this hotel. And I think that's what's great about these hotels, because you are paying a lot to stay at these hotels, whether you're a DVC owner or you're paying for the room. You're paying a lot to stay at what Disney's telling you is a resort luxury hotel. And I got to tell you, it is a resort luxury hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I missed any details except for the wedding pavilion. Sorry about that. I probably should have did a little deep dive into that. But the wedding pavilion is off behind the pool practically. When you come around on the monorail, you can't miss it.
Yeah.
It's right there.
And it has its own, I mean, like, that's okay that's not involved in this because that's a whole separate part of the overall resort. Like, it has its own separate, like, driveway entrance.
Yes.
Like,
everything
you don't
is
even
a separate entrance. Everything is separate.
Resort.
It's not like people that are coming to your wedding have to go through the hotel.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
to
it
get
is
to your
fully
wedding.
Separate. So, I mean, we could do a whole podcast episode just
yes,
on
we should
Disney
do it on weddings.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
So I'll
podcast.
Do one on that.
Okay.
So, but we'll keep that in mind.
Yes, we'll keep that in mind as one of our titles because we just love weddings. Yes. And we can do Disney detail weddings. But anyway, so that's it. Like I said, I think that, you know, I tried to get as much information as possible. It's funny because a lot of people said that in the beginning, a lot of the articles I looked up said that it wasn't family friendly. Yeah. That people assumed that because it was the Grand Floridian and because it was so high end and because it the look of it in the Victorian era and blah, 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 it wasn't family friendly. But actually, with everything they've got going on in this hotel, there is no reason that it should not be family
yeah,
friendly.
Yeah, I think you're still in Disney World yes. at the end of the day. So if yes. anything, I think it's nice if you want an elegant experience uh-huh. and you have children that they'll still have a good time. You
yes,
know?
Yes. I'm telling you. I mean, obviously, there is also when they said the club service rooms, I mean, they cost even more. And those people will do all your planning for you. But I mean, with kids, you've got the two pools. You've got all the arcade games. You've got the basketball court. You've got the campfires. You've got the movies under the stars. You've got a ping pong table by the pool. You've got all the things that if kids, you know, wanted to do, if you wanted to do recreation, you don't want to go to the park. You've got the marina. You've got the fishing expeditions. You can go
That's
out on the
I'm
boat.
Saying. There's so much
I mean,
to do.
There's so much to do that I don't know how anybody could be complaining that it's not family friendly.
Yeah,
I mean, like
sure.
you said, in the end, it is Disney. Everything's family friendly.
Yeah, no, would agree. No,
so
sure.
that was my in-depth dive.
Yeah, no, that was great. Yeah, I love learning so much more about the Grand Floridian. I feel like there's a lot that I didn't know, especially about all the restaurants and the dining options there. I didn't realize how.
I know. I was writing and writing and writing, and I'm like, oh my God.
No, they have way more restaurants than the other hotels really
yes,
do.
They do.
They have all those high-end ones as well as then like the
They have a big selection.
Ones. Yeah,
yes.
for sure. Which is like really interesting to see. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was really fun. So I'll definitely have my mom do more resort like rundowns like this because it's fun to hear more about
yes,
the resorts.
I'll do the resorts.
Yeah, definitely.
It'll be my job.
That's great. But now we've done all the monorail resorts.
That's
so maybe,
right. We're off the monorail now.
Yes, yeah, so maybe so. Next time we'll go to the Epcot resorts.
And yes, we'll start with
the Epcot resorts next. So all right, that's awesome. All right, so we are pre-recording this podcast, but we do have a little bit of Disney news. So the Flower and Garden Festival is now in the full swing of it. I will say as of recording, it's not. We still have another week and a half or so to go. But some of the new items that is going to be involved in the Flower and Garden Festival, I'll just read a few of them off. The first is the Liquid Nitro Honey Mascarpone Cheesecake. It will have fresh honey, granulated honey, honey mead, blueberry compote, and that will be at the Swirled Showcase.
Mm, I like the nitro stuff. It's fun.
Yeah, it sounds so interesting. Yeah. Definitely if you're a big honey person. I actually don't really love honey, but I just thought it was like, wow, there's a lot of honey
in this
cheesecake.
I think it depends. Honey's becoming a very big thing now.
It is, yeah. There's going to be a new seasonal fruit parfait with sweet chili sauce and Dole Whip mango from Refreshment Outpost.
I saw that.
Yeah, this one looks really good.
Yes.
They said this is a new garden graze item.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a new biscuit and gravy with Impossible Chicken, fried steak, and Impossible Sausage gravy from Brunchcot. So, of course, this is all vegan since the Impossible one all has vegan food.
Right.
This sounds really good, especially for, as someone who is vegetarian. There are certain foods you just don't eat anymore, basically. So it's fun to kind of see like a chicken fried steak. I mean, like, I don't think I've ever had that since I went vegetarian.
I don't eat it even in regular chicken
fried
steak.
Yeah, even before I went vegetarian, you don't really, you know,
gravies and biscuits and chicken fried steak.
Yeah, exactly.
Steak.
You don't like get that. But I thought that was really cool.
Uh-huh.
Real chicken. There's a hot honey sandwich, chicken sandwich. This is going to be Southern fried chicken sandwich with hot honey and pickles on a brioche bun.
Where's
from
that?
Connections.
We got to get that.
That's in Connections Eatery.
Okay.
Tamala de Rajas, poblano peppers, corn and cheese, and a masa topped with poblano cream sauce, crema mexicana, pickled carrots and onions with chives. This is in Jardin de Fiestas. There's also a ramen cup, which I thought was so cute.
Oh,
a
wow.
new ramen cup.
Okay.
This is going to be a ramen salad shaken in a cup with fresh vegetables, grilled chicken, and dashi broth with chili oil and yuzu from Hanami, which of course is in Japan. One other last new item is the Koto au Creme Citron, which it has lavender and thyme, compote. Oh my God, this is like quite the French
yes.
title. Compote de fruits rouge. It's a warm cake filled with lemon, lavender, and thyme infused cream served with berry compote from Fleur de Lis.
Wow.
So again, that'll be at the French the French one. So I thought some of these
some of them were so pretty too
really
when
good.
I saw the pictures because they have little edible flowers on
they
top
do,
that
yeah.
you can eat.
So again, by the time this podcast episode comes out, all of these, I'm sure there'll be lots of reviews online
yes.
of people tasting all the foods. So we don't have reviews yet, but I just wanted to highlight some of the new items at the very least. And we will be going to Disney World during the Flower and Garden Festival, but not for a few months still. So
right.
not
the lunch
there yet.
We'll have to check some. Because, I mean, these portions are always small when you
yeah,
have
they
them.
Are small.
You know, they're small little tastings because they want you to taste everywhere.
Yeah.
So we'll have to stop and do at least a tasting in a couple of different places.
Yes. All right. So again, pre-recorded. So a few weeks ago, though, Disney World has announced the birth of baby elephant Cora. So Cora is
cute.
Now on
mm-hmm.
the savannah in Kilimanjaro Safari. So if you'd like to see Korra and her mom, you should go on a Kilimanjaro safari to go see her. I think she was actually born a while ago, but she just was like behind
the
scenes.
Right, they don't put her out.
Yeah, so now that she's older and kind of, I guess, a bit more socialized to hear the trucks and everything like that, now she's on Kilimanjaro safari, so that's super exciting. We can go see her. And Disney also announced that Animal Kingdom is expecting two more baby elephants in 2025. So next year, and if you're listening live, if you're listening in the future, 2025, two more baby elephants will be coming to Animal Kingdom, which is so exciting. I know elephants have one of the longest gestational periods. So I'm sure the mothers must be pregnant right now for them before next year. But baby elephants also, I think it's the statistic is like after humans, baby elephants will stay with their mothers longer than any other creature in like the wild, so to speak. I think it's 10 years a baby elephant stays with his mother. So that is so exciting, which means that for the next 10 years or so, we'll kind of have like baby and mom to look at.
Hanging together.
Very exciting for that. And our last little bit of Disney news here, again, just because we're so pre-recorded, it's hard to do some Disney news, but Disneyland has just announced some fun updates for the 2024 Star Wars Nights. So this is including their ticket sale dates and pre-sale dates for Magic Key holders. Unfortunately, by the time this podcast episode has come out, all of these dates will have passed. So sorry about that, but some other news about that though. So hopefully if you got your tickets, or I'm sure there's probably still ways you can get tickets. So definitely try to get tickets if you like to. Some of the new items that they're going to have at the Star Wars Night, there's going to be over 20 new event-specific eats, and that will be available only during that Star Wars Night. They have not announced yet what those eats are going to be, so very excited to see. And of course, they're still going to have the Galactic Dance Party. This is like all the major tunes that they kind of play on the main street of Disneyland. The Resistance Show of Unity. This is the big thing that mainly everyone kind of goes for. So if you haven't been there before, you haven't seen photos, everyone will bring their own lightsaber to the park. It's the only time you're really allowed to have your lightsaber out and about, so to speak. And everyone just kind of holds it up in the air and waves around the air with them lit up. But it looks really cool. Like if you see hundreds of people just holding a lightsaber
in the
air.
Hold up their phones
exactly. And just waving it around. It looks really cool.
All those lights. Okay.
So that's the whole thing. The Resistance Show of Unity. That's what it's actually called though. So, and again, this is like the only time it's like acceptable in Disneyland
to
take that lightsaber out. Normally they have to be kind of sheathed and like protected, since it is technically, you're holding a plastic stick that could hurt people by accident. So this is really cool. So if you definitely make sure you bring your lightsaber, I'm sure you could probably buy one there too, if you would like. And then also you can also have lots of fair photo opportunities with rarely seen Star Wars characters and photo op backdrops. So I've seen lots of random Star Wars characters that you've never seen really in the parks before that they just whip out. You can take photos with, you can meet, interact with them. Yeah. And Disneyland has always been known for the characters you just to be out and about walking around. Whereas Disney World, you tend to have to wait on a proper queue and wait to go see them for a formal meet and greet. And so again, same thing, the Disneyland characters will kind of be out and about, but there will be some lines so you can take like proper photos with them too, so you can ensure that you get that photo.
I didn't even know they had that.
Yeah. So it's very exciting. The dates are only, I think, in April and May. So again, it's only a limited time to do this type of a festival, so to speak, for the Star Wars Nights. So make sure you sign up. I think it's interesting that it's only in Disneyland. I wonder if they're going to bring it to Disney World eventually, to like Hollywood
Considering
Studios.
They do so much Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I wonder too, in 2023, they did Jollywood Nights for the first time in Hollywood Studios, which was the first after hours event that you paid for in Hollywood Studios. Yes. So I wonder if that was one of like their soft launches to see what it would be like to do a nighttime, you know, a nighttime event in Hollywood Studios. So maybe in the future, they will bring the Star Wars Night to Hollywood Studios. But yeah, but for right now though, it's only in Disneyland. All right, that is all of our Disney news. Now we have a few Disney birthdays. First, on March 6th is Mirabel Magidigal's birthday. So happy birthday, Mirabel. We all love Mirabel. I mean, like, she's the main character from Encanto, so gotta love Mirabel. And on March 10th, we have Bucky Barnes. Bucky Barnes, another beloved character too. My mom's giving me this look.
Yeah, where's he from?
He's a main character in the Marvel series.
Okay. So, no wonder I don't know.
Yeah, he's the Winter Soldier. So.
Okay.
So I do love Bucky Barnes. He actually is one of my favorite MCU characters. I do like him a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, but happy birthday to Mirabel and to Bucky. They're both our Pisces. Oh, no, we're not Pisces. Wait. Are we still in Aquarius season? No. Yeah, at that point, we're in Pisces season. Yeah, by time this podcast, right now, we're still in Aquarius season. By time this podcast episode comes out, we're in Pisces season. So our two Pisces, king and queen. All right, and that transitions to our final segment, which is our Disney memory. So do you have a Disney memory?
Well, my Disney memory triggered when I realized I didn't do the wedding pavilion. The time we stayed at Grand Floridian, one of the days, I think I had a cold or whatever it was. And we said, let's just go take a walk before we do anything.
Yeah, we just walked around a little bit.
And we walked around the property. And as we walked around the property, the carriage came by.
Yeah.
The Cinderella carriage that they use for the weddings. I guess, I don't know if they were taking it from one place to another or what
they
were doing.
It seemed
like
they were kind of training the horses
a
little bit.
Yeah, because it was not a weekend. It was not a daytime where they were having a wedding.
Out and about.
Yeah. They were just out and about. And we got to just take pictures and see them up close and see that carriage up close without having to be at a Disney wedding. And that's what triggered it off when I said something about, oh my God, the pavilion's behind the, in my mind, I was picturing the pool and the pavilion. It's like, ooh, okay, that's my Disney memory.
Yeah, no, I remember that too. I was going to kind of talk about that as well, because I think that was so cool that you can just kind of catch glimpses of it during the day. I don't know how frequently they take it out or have the horses kind of train and just practice with the carriage just to kind of keep their skills up, so to speak. But yeah, but it is so amazing when you see that carriage, as well as depending upon the time of year and what's going on, sometimes they will have Cinderella's glass slipper out and about too that you can take photos with.
Yes.
So I would say, I also want to say too, because when we were just there in December, the glass slipper just happened to be out that day and there was a photo pass photographer there. And I thought that was so cool to see Cinderella's glass slipper.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And so that was super exciting for me, because I've always loved Cinderella. She's been one of my favorite Disney princesses since I was a child. So to see that in person is always so exciting to see the one singular slipper.
Yeah, it's not there all the time, but every once in a while.
So definitely make sure you keep an eye out for that in case you get to see some of these fun little Easter eggs that are out and about.
Right. Carriage was a big one. I got to tell you, it was amazing to see it up close.
It makes you feel so special. Yeah, we'll definitely do an episode just on the Disney weddings. Okay. There is a whole podcast. I don't know the woman who runs it personally, but I do listen to the podcast called Disney Weddings. I think that's what it's called. It's something to do with Disney weddings, Walt Disney World weddings. Okay. And she basically just interviews with couples who had their wedding in Disney and kind of ask some questions and going over like their experience with their Disney wedding and stuff. So I'd recommend listening to that podcast if you're interested in more about Disney weddings, because that one, she really, all the details are there. I'll cross every park, every resort.
Well, because as time goes on, I mean, originally when that wedding pavilion was built, it was the only place to have a Disney wedding. And then as time went on, I mean, you can basically have
a wedding at every resort.
Anywhere, anything.
All the parks, all different times of day.
Right. It really you got depends. The money, they'll do it for you.
For sure. So I definitely recommend that podcast. Mm-hmm. We're not associated with her at all, but I really do like her podcast. I highly doubt she'd ever listen to our podcast. I'm not really sure. But yeah, but if you're listening,
she's
I do love
prepping
your podcast,
her own podcast.
One of my faves. So, all right. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Make sure you give us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Apparently, Google Podcasts is being phased out. So sorry to Google Podcasts listeners. Yeah, within the coming weeks, Google Podcasts is going away. So we'll have to find a new platform if you're on Google Podcasts. Although we did distribute to Google Podcasts.
Oh, did we? Okay.
Yeah, we did.
All right.
As well as YouTube. So again, I don't know if I was filming back in the day when we went to the Grand Floridian on YouTube, so I'm not sure if I have any videos.
I don't think
so.
I think that was so far back.
So I only started filming our vlogs in 2019.
We'll have to make it our business to go there again.
Yeah, but we do have a YouTube channel where I do film and vlog all of our Disney trips up until now, so definitely make sure you check that out. Our social media is Spaceship Earth Design, and I will have a dedicated Instagram post on our Instagram. It'll also be linked in the description below, so you can let us know, what is your favorite thing about the Grand Floridian? Have you eaten at Victoria and Albert's? Have you eaten at one of the other restaurants? What is your go-to meal? You always have to visit in the Christmas time to see the big gingerbread display. Let us know. I would love to hear your favorite things about the Grand Floridian. But until next time, we will see you soon.